The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back here on The Bench. John and Dell now for the last hour here of the show. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776. Or you could tweet me at John Granato, tweet Dell at DellV2. So you asked the question here, Dell. Is this a, I guess this is a USA Today article. Is there another team that we want to see a docuseries on?
Yeah, and they focus on the NFL, so it wasn't a central figure or a dynasty at its end. It was
like the U was a really good docu, it actually turned into a series because there was a couple of them.
Yeah, now that one spread over multiple years. This particular story or article is about one season. Who do we want to learn more about?
Well, but it's in fairness now. The Bulls thing wasn't just about that one season. Exactly. It was actually about the whole run.
I don't know if there's enough for anyone to be like, yeah, I want to really hear about the 2017 Seahawks or whatever the people on the list are.
If you want to know the truth, I would love, I think, and I can't stand them, but the Cowboys, the early 90s, the run of 3 out of 4, and with the White House and with the Michael Irvin and the Nate Newtons and the Stepnoskis and you want to talk about some characters and the Dions and the Haleys and the holy crap, you could have Emmett, you could have a nice documentary about, I'll bet you some stuff happened there now.
Yeah, you can start with Jerry taking over the team, ushering out Tom Landry, the legend, and everything from that point forward until the Barry Switzer, I guess the end of the Barry Switzer years, and see how it all fell apart. There's enough there. There's drugs. There's prostitutes. Yeah. There's winning. There's certainly enough for the Cowboys to put something like that on.
I need more information about the White House.
Yeah, that was a thing. You got Nate Newton with all the drugs in the back of his in his trunk
in the van.
Yeah,
no, he had a van.
Yeah, a van full. So there's enough. There's plenty for the Cowboys to fill out probably a 10-parter.
And Stepnoski was a weed enthusiast, and Haley was a nut job. And Dion was Dion. I mean, you had a bunch of characters on that team now.
Yeah, and then you could always buttress it by saying, oh, by the way, we won. We won a lot. So for all the things we were doing, we still found a way to win. As you said, I mean, I have a different feel about the Cowboys because I kind of latched onto them because all the Miami Hurricane ties with Jimmy and Michael Irvin and Darren Smith and all these guys who were on the Miami teams. But so I don't hate them as much, but there's a lot there. I wonder, and I don't know if you could get all those Cowboys to say, sure, we'll do this. We'll talk about all those things because a lot of those guys are still in the public eye. They still work in the NFL or around the NFL. I'm not sure the NFL would want a lot of that stuff out.
Yeah. No. I mean, you know Michael would, because Michael's going to be, I mean, the drug use and the, who knows what Mike was doing. I mean, I'll bet you at the White House there was stuff going on that was, there's no way Mike would be like, I ain't no part of this, and yeah, nobody better be snitching.
He's had his legal issues afterwards, and he still found a way to maintain a spot on NFL Network because some of those charges have been dropped. Yeah, I don't think Michael wants any litigation of all the things he used to do. Any discussions about that?
Let's go over, okay, Mike with the crack pipe and the hookers. I mean, it's going to get all into that. That's a documentary. That's what I need.
The problem is the Cowboys, at least Michael and Troy, and even Jimmy Johnson, they're too involved in NFL media for it to be a thing. For it to be a real thing that we would actually care about as opposed to kind of a sanitized version.
Yeah. No, we don't need the sanitized. We need the F-bomb version. We need the ESPN version, not the ESPN2 version. We need the whole thing. That, to me, other than that, yeah. I mean, the Steelers, really? I guess maybe the Antonio Brown season. We can get Antonio, but that to me is just turning into a sad thing. By the way, I've heard that there's what would you think of Antonio Brown? There's more rumbling about Antonio Brown signing. Maybe how about the Seahawks?
That always seemed, because it's the Pacific Northwest and Pete Carroll, the progressive place that was signed. Because remember, when Kaepernick was still a potential guy who was going to play in the NFL, everyone pointed to Seattle as a place where you could back up Russell Wilson. I mean, I don't know how you make that move. I get it, the talent, but what is he now?
Playmaker to wide receiver? When was the last one?
He's turned Tyler Lockett into one, and before that, Doug Baldwin was one. So
right.
So
was Doug Baldwin.
Yeah, but in that final Doug Baldwin year, he was a really good player. He was never Antonio Brown. I just don't think they do it. And now they have DK Metcalf there. They have their big play threat. It would seem in a place where they've kind of given that team to Russell Wilson. I don't know if they're looking for the Antonio Brown experience. I don't know who anyone is.
I think Russell is.
I don't know. We'll see. I don't know how good DK Metcalf will be. I understand the talent of Antonio Brown, but Russell thinks he wants the Antonio Brown experience. Well, wait till you get it.
Yeah.
Just wait.
Yeah, because it never – although, here's the deal is, you know, at some point guys humble. At some point guys wake up, you know, this is my last chance. They wake up to last chance you. And they go, it finally hits him. And Antonio Brown has got to be at that place. He's got to be.
Well, you would hope so. And I imagine
whether or not he can control himself.
Yeah, that's
is another
the thing.
Story.
He might be very repentant and go in and say, "I'm grateful for the opportunity because this is what I love to do. I love to play the game." But when you're back in it, when you feel embraced again, who knows? I mean, some guys take heed and go, "Okay, this might be my last shot." Other guys are like, okay, I'm back in it. My talent will always give me another shot, and it could go poorly. I mean, Seattle seems like the place where it could work out because you've got the players' coach. You have a entrenched quarterback who won't be bullied by Antonio Brown, who won't take over that team. But there are very few. But I don't see him playing again. Although, I don't see it.
Art needs a doc on the Knicks the past 10 to 15 years. What? The past 10 to 15 Knicks years? Boy, talk about just crap. The last thing I want to see is that. What a depressing documentary.
I don't mind it. I like Knick failure. I wouldn't mind it at all. You got Charles Oakley being thrown out. You got all the James. You got Isaiah Thomas and his front office stuff. There's Isaiah plenty. I feel like Art's on the right track. If you're looking for a Schadenfreude doc, the Knicks are perfect. There's the awful Phil Jackson time when he was their front office exec who was making all decisions, how poorly that went. Carmelo was there, how he kind of undercut Mike D'Antoni. There's enough Schadenfreude with the Knicks that it would work. If you just want to laugh at a franchise, the Knicks would be perfect.
The Knicks are perfect. All right, taking a break. It's 10:15 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. My buddy is in the hospital having a procedure, and he's listening to us. So, shout out. Don't screw this up, okay? Just get better.
You're talking to the doctors or your buddy?
I'm talking to my buddy.
Wait, he's having the procedure. How's he going to screw it up?
But, you know, how about just get better, okay?
Well, first
I play golf with him, and I need his money.
Well, that's selfish. You're much like Michael Jordan. He's like, hey, I got to play you to take your money, so get better.
Well, yeah. I'm just saying. I just need him to get better because I need his money.
Well, you're a great friend.
Yeah. Great friend. Okay. 713-780-3776 is the number. The main story, did you watch Bundesliga?
I woke up and watched Dortmund because that's my team. Unfortunately, Reyna did not play. He got hurt in warm-ups. The American Wunderkind, who's like 17, supposed to be the next great American player.
Isn't his dad in soccer?
Is he? Yeah, I made a mistake a couple weeks ago when I said his dad is Claudio, but his Claudio Reyna, former American legend, is in Austin. He's with that new MLS club that's going to pop up next season or whenever their next season is. We have Tad Ramos here in town, who's another great former American player.
Yeah.
But, yeah, his dad, Claudio, is with the Austin FC club, the new MLS club up there.
What is Tad Ramos doing?
He's the manager of the Dynamo.
Oh. Tad Ramos is? Oh, I missed that.
He used to be really in deep with the development of U.S. players. Was part of the United States Soccer Federation, but now he's with the Dynamo. He's their manager now.
Oh, I always thought we had Latin American or English or Scottish. I didn't know that we hired Americans over here.
Well, he's originally from Uruguay, so maybe that helps you a little bit.
Oh, that does help.
Yeah.
Okay, good. That's good. So, did you watch any golf?
No. Why would I ruin a good Sunday with golf?
No, my buddy's not getting a sex change, Art. Not that I know of.
Well, did you ask him?
Well, it would be better if she became a he. It would be great. Because he should be hidden from the ladies' tees. Oh, that was a funny one.
Golf jokes. You should crack yourself up.
Golf joke. Golf is back. And there were some bad shots, but there were some good stuff. They made a lot of birdies.
And
NASCAR.
Yeah, I watched a couple laps. I'm not going to be locked in. It was interesting. I just wanted to see the environment. And really, that's why I watched Bundesliga as well, to see what it felt like. And Lance watched more of it. He talked about it earlier. It was a little weird. When Dortmund scored their first goal, the guys celebrated with social distancing. They did a little awkward dance, and no one jumped on each other to say, yeah, congratulations. It was all very much in line with what the guidelines were. Although I did see a picture of another player in a different game hop on the back of another guy, so breaking the rules. But, I mean...
Didn't they say that they're not going to... worry about goal celebration?
Well, I just know the Dortmund players are like, we're just going to stay away from each other. Even when they did their mock, because in the game, soccer teams after wins will do a bit of a show of thanks to their supporters. And the Dortmund players did that, although there are no supporters. They're like a couple like stadium crew people that were applying them, so they went over there and did to them. And normally the guys would hold hands and raise them and go, hey. They didn't do that. They did those actions, those motions, but they were 6 feet away from each other when they did them. So Dortmund was all in on the guidelines, or at least the distancing, but maybe it's not such a hard and fast rule. But I noticed it with them. They're like, yeah, we're not going to touch each other if we don't have to.
Yeah. They won 4-0, right?
Yeah, they got off to a good start. They're the second place team behind your team, Munich or Bayern, or are you a Wolves guy now?
No, I'm Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
I was just doing that for Lance because I don't want to hear him.
Bayern won yesterday. They won 2-0.
Yeah, of course we did.
Well, don't say we.
Yeah, no, that's my club. That's my team. Thomas Müller.
You should be saying Robert Lewandowski because he's their actual best player. He's a goal scorer.
No, Mueller's their best player.
No, Lewandowski.
Oh, really?
How
many World Cup titles is
Lewandowski is a better club player than Thomas Mueller is?
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes. Yes, he is.
So, okay, which comes back first, basketball or baseball?
Baseball seems like the more likely one to ruin this for everyone. So I'm going to take basketball.
I'm telling you, you know what the last thing anybody wants to hear is about them arguing about how much money. The last thing anybody wants to hear.
The lack of self-awareness for baseball is kind of I would say it's astounding, but I guess a generation has passed since their last work stoppage, so maybe they've forgotten how a nation will turn on you when you remove baseball, when you take their baseball away from them. And it doesn't help that this that they're doing it in this environment. They find a way not to play games, particularly if the NBA comes back. Now, if the NBA is like, oh, we can't figure it out because of the health concerns, baseball might get a pass. But the only reason baseball doesn't come back is because of money, and the NBA is playing in the playoffs and having a title decided no matter how it's decided. If MLS finds a way to go play a tournament in Orlando, like a MLS World Cup thing, and baseball is the only one who doesn't come back while football is getting ready to come back, it'll just highlight how dumb baseball is and how they never realize the opportunities in front of them.
And greedy. Yeah, and how they could have everybody glued and watching their sport and it's just thirsting for their sport, and they're too greedy to go back.
Yeah, and they're the ones
Even at this talk, I know that it's already turned people off. The Blake Snell and Bryce Harper, shut up, guys. Shut up. Now, Dan Wetzel wrote a piece, and he said, well, you know he's right, right? And maybe he is right, but you can't put it the way he did. Maybe he is right. Maybe it is, okay, the risk when a guy is, you know what, if he does catch coronavirus and he does get sick and it does last with him and he's never the same guy again, if he's only going to play for, listen, that's fine. And if the owners agreed to a 50-50 split and now they want, or they agree to half pay and now they want a 50-50 split and you don't agree with that, that's fine. That's fine, but that I'm risking my life and I won't do it for this amount. I won't do it for 1.7. There are nurses and doctors that are doing it for nothing, next to nothing, and really risking their lives every day when everybody's going to pamper your ass and just make sure that everything couldn't be in a more perfect setting for you, and you're going to complain that you're risking your life for $1.7 million, when it's really not going to be that, because I don't see there any way that they're going to do a 50-50 split. But if it's for $3.5 million that you're worried, and I got to pay taxes too. Shut up. If you want to just say, hey, I think it's just too dangerous, guys, I don't think we should play. Fine. But that you can't possibly, because you're because your greatness, I would never play for just $1.7 million. That's beneath me. You a-hole.
See,
you're an a-hole.
I've said before, I'm usually on the player's side. And frankly, to Dan Wetzel's point, maybe Blake Snell is right in terms of what they agreed to they should stick with because that's what was decided.
No, that wasn't his point. His point was okay. That maybe Blake Snell is right in that he shouldn't. He's got 4 years left on that $50 million deal, and if he gets sick now, he may not be the same guy for the rest of his contract.
Gotcha. But I guess my bigger point was Blake Snell's the wrong messenger. Just
right.
The whole circumstance of how he did it on a Twitch stream that most people are like, what's a Twitch stream? He's doing that. He's playing video games. He's in his special video game room. It all looks bad. In fact, if you're the owners, you're like, thanks, Blake Snell. Thank you. Because because they might have some knowledge that all the players feel like this, but you are the perfect guy to represent them to make us look better. Because it just looks terrible, and it sounded terrible coming from him. But I don't blame him specifically if baseball doesn't get back. It's a joint effort to not get back.
And Bryce Harper chimes in. Bryce Harper, who cares more about his hair and who is underplaying one of the biggest contracts in baseball, that's another great spokesman for you.
And his team won it all the year he left?
Yeah. As soon as he got out of there. There's another example, by the way, another DeAndre Hopkins example. I mean, he keep going back to Seattle with A-Rod and Randy Johnson and Ken Griffey Jr., and then he went 116 games. How about getting rid of Bryce Harper and winning the World Series?
To be fair to DeAndre, he wasn't putting up Bryce Harper-type numbers even as a national. Bryce Harper, his final year, was hitting .249. He wasn't DeAndre, but I get your point. I know what you're saying. But Bryce, at least his final year, was not DeAndre.
No. But he's still one of the most coveted guys out there.
He shouldn't have been. Not with the numbers he put up.
Trust me. I agree. 1029 ESPN 97.5. 7378-0376. Come on in.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. So, what did you think of no crowd noise at the game?
It was weird, a bit. But honestly, once the game was going on, it was like, whatever. And they actually pumped in noise when goals were scored, at least at Dortmund they did. Now they're the home team, so it makes some more sense. It was more like, I guess, it's the song they would play normally after they scored. Now, I didn't watch one match where a road team scored to see how that would respond. I know Munich scored their two goals on the road, so I wonder how that was like, what that was like. It was fine. But maybe it's because I'm honestly not a huge Dortmund fan. Maybe it would make. I was thinking when that was going on, what would it be like during college football season? If they're limited fans or no fans, which I don't see happening, I feel like they would just limit capacity. What's that going to be like at Tiger Stadium, as you would say, if Texas rolls into town and due to social distancing, they only put 15,000 to 20,000 people in that building? What's that going to be like? Because college football is about atmosphere. So if that becomes a thing where we're like, yeah, touchdown LSU. There's a gentle roar of the crowd. What's that going to be like for people?
No. If they do it right now, if Fox does it right, it'll be interesting to see if they do it right with crowd noise for NFL games.
So you're it's okay.
It can't sound like canned laughter and like all in the family. You know, it can't. It's got to be well done.
So they just take their cues from the Texans. The Texans have been doing it for years.
Yeah. No. I've been in that stadium, it's almost empty, and it's, like, deafening. And I'm like, really? Really, dudes? So the dude really did said, go bleep your grandmother, right?
Yeah, he said it in French, but the guy was talking to the guy. It was a Stuttgart and Dortmund, which are the two German teams, they're a big rival. So I don't know if that's enough for you to tell a dude to go F his own grandmother. But he said in French during as they were getting ready for a corner kick to the guy who scored the first goal, he's like, hey, go ask your grandmother. I was like, oh, all right, man. I didn't know you could say that in French, but go ahead.
Well, and then he got it, and then he injured himself?
Oh, yeah, that guy was limping throughout the first half, particularly late in the first half. He got injured, so a little fragile. But, hey, he got off that bomb. I don't know if the dude from – I think the guy who was talking to was Danish – or Dutch, I'm not sure. So I don't know if he knew.
Looks like he's a big Dutch guy.
I don't know if he knew what he was saying, because I know English is, if we're talking about international languages in Europe, English is the language. I don't know if French is, but yeah, he dropped the go F your grandmother.
Well, it looks like the guy knew what he was saying.
He was at least smirking at him. Maybe he had said something in English first. I don't know.
That's good smack talk, though.
Yeah, and apparently his name's Erling Braut Haaland, the guy who was told to go F his grandmother. He's Norwegian.
Ah.
Erling Braut Haaland.
Oh.
He looks like he looks like a Nordic dude, certainly.
Yeah, they probably do that stuff anyway.
Though. I don't know if that's the case. I don't know if that's a thing in Norway.
I don't know nothing about him. But
he was born in England.
He was like, okay.
According to his wiki, he was born in Leeds, England. But is of Norwegian descent. I'm just not sure if that's a big thing in either of the places where you go F your grandmother.
Your grandmother. Huh. DiGiorno got off a shot, fired a shot. After Michael Jordan told the story about the pizza and he got food poisoning, DiGiorno tweeted out, delivery pizza, go figure.
I've never had DiGiorno. I don't know. Well, I could see that from you particularly. You have a particular taste in pizza. I've never had it. I don't. The commercials never appealed to me because when I was a kid, it's obviously cheaper when your parents are buying you the pizza they get from the store. But as an adult, if I'm going to have pizza, I'm just going to go get it from a place that makes pizza.
Speaking of which, we went and watched at Nick's place yesterday. We watched the golf and we watched the NASCAR over at Nick's place yesterday and had the pizza. Spectacular. It was awesome. It was great to have Nick's again. Nick's Pizza right there live. Get a crispy, get a large crispy pepperoni, and I promise you will not be disappointed. Tasty, tasty, tasty. My boy Nick. And we had some Nick nuggets and wings, and yeah, we did it yesterday.
Aren't you leaving?
You did nothing.
Oh, well, I was fine. Are you leaving? I cooked for myself. I like to cook for myself. It was good. Some spicy marinara sauce, and with some meat sauce. You know, you'll brown the sausage a little bit, John. You brown the hot Italian sausage, crumble it up, and then you get your sauce.
Put it in the gravy?
Yeah, put in the gravy and let that simmer. Because I don't have anything to do and no one to serve it to, I let that thing simmer for an hour, and maybe more than an hour, just to bring out all the flavors.
Mine goes 4 hours.
Yeah, I'm sure you may. I'm sure, yeah. I don't have that type of patience, but I think mine was about an hour and a half. I was watching some TV downstairs while I was simmering upstairs.
Well, you can't make you can't hurry a gravy.
No. I wasn't that's hurrying it. It was like almost, Italian, it was like I'm an hour and a half.
That's like microwave for me.
Okay.
You can't do it.
Okay. I know. I know you're like grandma, Sunday dinners. I get you. It takes forever. But I think a good hour and a half, hour and 45 was good. Let that thing simmer, bring out all the flavors, and then it's ready to go. Throw some rotini in that thing. Mm. Magnifique. Magnifique.
Let me ask you this. We had this discussion, and we're starting to see guys getting in some trouble now. Cody Latimer, Baker, Dunbar, Ed Oliver. And now all of a sudden, holy crap, these guys got too much time off. Oh, my goodness. They haven't had a paycheck. They don't have anywhere. They need structure. We got to get them back. I mean, I could certainly see this turning in. If there are fewer injuries in the NFL, let's say Will Fuller's hamstrings actually hold up. I mean, let's say that J.J. Watt actually plays 13 games this season. Let's say, quarterbacks. Guys actually come back healthy. Let's say we watch some good football. Guys are in better, actually maybe better shape. Not better shape per se, but actually feel better by the end of the season. Is there a chance that maybe we look at the offseason and go, dude, we got to give him a break.
We might say that.
We have to. Now, this isn't helping with these arrests, but I was talking to Alonzo, and he said, back in the day, in the off season, you had the whole off season off. You felt good when you got to camp. You worked your ass off, and by the time the season started, you were ready to go. And you didn't have mini camps and OTAs and all of these and rookie camps and we got to be in spring football and all of these things and workouts for months before this. Man, let the guys rest their bodies.
I don't think the coaches are going to be down for it. And I don't even think this particular spate of arrests has anything to do with having too much time in their hands. I think it's like, wait a minute, the country's opening back up again. Now there's stuff for us to do.
I think it might be, you know, if these guys were in camp, they wouldn't be doing this stuff.
Well, that's
and if they were around football and if they were, you know, if Cody Latimer just thinks, what are you doing shooting a gun in your apartment?
Yeah, but what camp would he be at in May? Would he be at a mini camp?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I don't know. I don't know the dates.
They're in mini camps in May and June, early June, I think.
Because they're like these 1 week things, and they get it off, and then they come back. So I don't know. I just don't know the schedule. Whoever he was with, but if he's at home in the city, that because mini camps they don't sequester you, right? If you are like if the Redskins or whoever is having a mini camp in town, they don't sequester you. Go back home. So this could very well still have happened. If as far as the domestic disturbance, now the Dunbar Baker thing probably doesn't happen because they play in two different cities.
And not only that, I'm a football player. I rethink this. I'm thinking about football. I've got obligations. I've got to be here. I got to be there. You know what's the devil's workshop? Idle hands. And right now they got a bunch of idle hands. So maybe that's gonna hurt it because they do have way too much time on their hands, and then you're gonna have problems like we're starting to have now.
I don't know, because I remember a lot of NFL off seasons where it was normal and guys are still getting arrested. So I'm not sure what you point to. You could use it as a correlation because you don't want to give them extra time, but guys would get arrested. I mean, Chad Johnson.
Guys will find a way to get arrested.
We remember Hard Knocks. Chad Johnson got into a bit of an altercation with his significant other, and it became a storyline, and he was in training camp. I don't think it matters. If you are of the mindset, it might help a guy who's less focused. But if you're of the mindset to get in trouble, and that's part of your personality, you're going to find a way. Because I don't think Cody Latimer was like, you know what, if I was playing football, or at least practicing right now, I might not fire this gun right now in my own apartment.
Right.
I don't know what provokes you to do that just because you're not playing football.
Well, I just think, you know what, if I've got coach over me all the time, I've got responsibilities, I don't know. Haven't we seen a decrease in arrests in the offseason?
Well, Roger Goodell put the hammer down, certainly, but that's been the thing.
Yeah, and I think, maybe because they don't have the time. Maybe because they're too tired to go out and commit crimes. I don't know.
I don't know. But this happened over a 4 to 5 day span, right? Now,
right.
Up until this point, it's been a relatively quiet offseason. You could point to being quarantined. And
right.
So it kind of balanced it out. No football, but no one can do anything, so you don't have anything to do. But, yeah, this offseason, when the country started to open up again, guys are like, time to go commit some crimes. And not even small crimes. Not petty. We're going to use firearms. We're going to DWI. We're going to make up for all the time we missed.
Right. All right, news of the word. We're going to finish up strong and send you to the press box next right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
Were you in Galveston this weekend, though?
Not this weekend. I drove down there Wednesday night, but I didn't go down there this weekend.
You weren't there for Go Topless Jeep Weekend?
No. No, I was not.
Okay, was Jackie there? Was Jackie?
I don't want to see Jackie topless.
I know, right? Go Topless Jeep Weekend on the Bolivar Peninsula. Two people shot. Congratulations. Both people airlifted to nearby hospitals.
Now, this is a thing where they just take the tops off of Jeeps, right? Just drive around and say, look at us.
Yes.
Isn't that what it is? Hey, look at my Jeep, and it doesn't have a top on it?
I'm pretty sure. Doesn't it end up with... You know what? If it's going to be called Go Topless, don't you think?
At some point, some dude's going to be like, "The Jeep's not the only thing I want to see topless." And some girl takes her top off. Yeah, that happens.
I mean, Mardi Gras just turned into show me your... Yeah.
I thought that was what it was from the start. What was the initial reason for Mardi Gras?
Was to give beads so women show you their breasts.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I thought that was always a thing. Apparently, this was the biggest crime kind of jump for Go Topless Week in a while. Between Friday and Saturday morning, 127 people were arrested.
Nice. But in 2019, there were 125. So this is not unusual.
Yeah.
This is all right, standard operating procedure for Go Topless Weekend.
It's
pretty crazy.
Yeah, last year Jeep Weekend concluded with more than 600 calls for service and 305 people booked into the Galveston County Jail, which with 120 of those arrests coming from the Bolivar Peninsula alone. Yeah, Bolivar is a place that Raheel frequents, so I'm not surprised. It has a type of riffraff down there.
I know, right? And Jackie.
Jackie,
isn't that
yeah.
Jackie's, oh my God.
I know Amber classes the place up a little bit, but right. Jackie's got to be the one. The
last
worst
thing
of
I
all
see
of them.
Is Jackie topless.
It's terrible.
Apparently, there's a new trend. Newlywed brides are increasingly seeking out affairs to cope with post-wedding blues.
Could you get the F out of here? Not you specifically, but this story. Post-wedding blues, isn't that supposed to be the happiest time? Like what? You mean the party's over now, and a week later, now it's time to go find you some strange?
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you, honestly, if you got married, would you not have post-wedding blues?
Well, that's why I wouldn't get married, because I know
but,
better.
But if you did, if you made the mistake and got married, wouldn't you? So you can't blame these people or judge these people.
Yes, I can. Because
it's
said
exactly what you would
you
do.
You said, no, I wouldn't. I wouldn't cheat on my significant other. But you said these brides were the ones. And generally, I mean, this is a clear generalization. Generally, this is marriages are a woman-driven thing, correct? You have more experience than I do, just with the people you know. Isn't it generally a woman?
No, women. Well, guys want to get married, too.
No, certainly. But are they less likely to do it as quickly as women would be?
I don't know that.
I think you do. Let's not be phony here. You know the deal. And then the women are be like, yeah, you know what? I got the blues, so now I'm gonna go find some strange D.
Yeah.
Huh. Oh, huh. Just speaks to my point. Don't get married. It's not worth it. What's the point?
Well, no, especially to some biatch that's gonna you're gonna marry her, and in the first year she's gonna have an affair because she's bored or something.
I'm not gonna call her that word. You can call her that.
Oh no, I will.
I know
she goes and has an affair in the first year of your marriage. Well, she's a biznot.
Well, John, maybe he drove her to it.
Oh, stop.
You don't know, John. Maybe it's really his fault, and you don't understand. She had to do it to find some comfort. Okay, whatever.
Whatever. So in Virginia, two men apparently walked into a convenience store and robbed it. This is not unusual. What was unusual was that they were wearing watermelon heads. They actually
Did they cut the eyes out?
They had watermelons on their heads. They cut the eyes out and robbed a convenience store. Apparently they found one of the guys.
You didn't have access to a ski mask or stocking. Yeah. What's the deal?
You got to give them credit for ingenuity.
I just say there are easier ways to disguise yourself. You can put a mask on. There are multiple than the to take the time. To first, you got to buy a couple watermelons that are compatible. Then you're cutting the eyes out, and now you got watermelon juice all over your head. There are easier ways to do that. To rob somebody.
One of the customers says, I think it's ridiculous. Innovative, but ridiculous.
It is
the
ridiculous.
The amount of work that you have to do to actually hollow out a watermelon to stick on your head, I think it's kind of crazy. Why would they do that? It's so stupid.
Thank you.
Well, listen, unless you were seen hollowing it out, unless you were seen buying the watermelon, I mean, I don't know.
Well, and to be fair, no one's going to pay attention to someone simply buying a watermelon. Like, if you go and buy a mask to disguise yourself, someone might remember, oh, yeah, he bought the president's mask. That's the guy. If you buy a watermelon, no one's going to take account for that.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, there is a Washington, D.C. man, spent over $250,000 on cam girl. That wasn't the real problem. The real problem was he killed his parents and his brother for trying to make him quit watching porn.
What? That's the wrong way to lead off something.
Right.
How much money did he spend on cam girls?
$250,000.
Wait, he's got that type of cash?
Well, apparently not. I mean, maybe he was, bleeding the family dry. He looks like a guy. If you want to know the truth, I'm looking at his mugshot. He looks like a guy that would spend $250,000 on cam girl.
There are so many questions. Like, how did he gain access? Who, if he's using the cards or the cash of family, how much money did he have to spend before they noticed that he was racking up that type of bill? Yeah, and I just found a picture of him. I was going to say something not kind about who he reminds me of, but I'll keep it to myself because it's someone we know.
I know who you're thinking of.
I'll keep it to myself.
Apparently, Disney had to put an end to unauthorized Club Penguin online because, well, people were having penguin e-sex. What is wrong with people?
Wait.
Why can't we have Club Penguin online with people having gangbangs with penguins?
How do I phrase this? How do you get the penguin to animate that type of action? Do they just push like four or five penguins together and say you're having sex? How do you do that?
I don't. Can we stop doing that? Can't we just have a penguin online?
What, a penguin? Penguins can have sex online?
Oh,
I think the big problem is it's a app. It's a thing for kids. I think that's the biggest issue. Apparently, it was plagued by racism and e-sex, and that's why they shut it down.
Yeah. Apparently, a Macon, Georgia man was arrested. Necrophilia. That's not the bad part.
Yes, it is. That is the bad part. What are you talking about?
Well, now, don't most of them do it in the morgue, down in the basement?
I don't know.
Well, this guy was out in public. He was on Walnut Street. On the front steps.
Having sex with a dead body?
Yeah.
Was it a, is this man, was he a man who had same sex, dead body sex? Or was it, did he pick a dead body of the opposite gender?
It was a dead body of the opposite gender, female. Apparently the cops came because they got complaints about two people having sex on the steps of the Daybreak Day Resource Center. And when they pulled the man off, oh, he got dressed, but she was unresponsive because she was dead.
You know what type of individual you got to be, not just to have sex with a dead body, but to not care enough to hide having sex with a dead body, and not even just like I'm going to do it at my own on my own property in the front yard. I'm going to do it on a public in a public place on the front steps. You know Day what kind of resource. Person you got to be?
He looks like he has some
problems. Does he look like the same guy who was paying for $250K for cam girls?
No. African Americans are taking the L on this one.
Oh, no. Okay? I would have that would have been like plus 5,000 before I would have thought one of my people did that.
Nope, taking the L here, Del.
That is a huge surprise for me. I would have put that on a white guy L, immediately.
With that day ends with an L for Del. That's right terrible. Here on ESPN 97.5. Y'all have a great day. Press box next.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.